You realize we have the ramps, we have the doors that are required by America, we have the bathrooms that are required by America, but if there's 54 million of them in America and we're the soul-winning crowd, where are they? Amen? Why am I the abnormal this morning? Amen? Why am I the only person in here in a wheelchair? Amen? Why am I the only person that we're trying to reach? Hey, wait a second. Hey, look, this is what we want to do. Amen? 8 million of those people are children. Amen? And what we're doing is God's given us the property. We've already bought the property. We have a 6-bedroom home, 3 baths up there. We have the Patterson cabin up in the woods. Amen. Brother Jack Patterson has his own cabin. God's given us the barns. He's given us the horse barn. Amen. We got the pastures all decked in. We got every bit of that for $154,000. Amen. 43 acres. Amen. With all that on it. And God's given us the ability to reach these children. Amen. We want to structure it out. We want to bring them in, and we want to find out where all you pastors are, and then we want to work with those people and send them back to your area and introduce them to you. Amen. We want to structure this thing out to where we can start reaching the forgotten crowd of America. Amen. Now listen, it's a powerful thought. Amen. They're standing 6,000 deep to get into these camps. Amen. To ride. And you know, if the world's got it, we as fundamentalists gotta have something reaching the world. Amen. You realize it takes 2 years for a child to get into one of those camps just to ride 1 hour. 1 hour is equal to 8 hours of therapy. We want to bring them in and ride them for 3 or 4 times a week and preach to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, it's going to be awesome. Amen. We're hoping to open this thing up next summer. Amen. Get it all running. Brother Manley's in line with us, and the pastor of the camp's in line with us. We're ready to fire out, brother. Amen. Listen, we need your support. We need help. Amen. Amen. That's what we need. We need people to step out. I got my cards laying back here. You'll see them back here on the table. It's called Blessed Hope Ranch. Amen. On the back, it's got my evangelistic material on the back. This is the Blessed Hope Ranch. I want you all to understand this is a powerful, powerful ministry that you can be involved in. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to get to heaven someday and stand before God and say, Brother Bell, you were crippled. Why didn't you reach the crippled people? Amen. Amen. Hey, they're out there, friend. And listen, there's a problem with you as a physical body person. You can't reach them. There's a wall around this chair. But I can break through that wall. Amen? And I can get to people. And listen, I've run into people all across America with this thing. And it's a wonderful opportunity. My son's home right now. My 21-year-old son's home taking care of the ranch. And it's a blessing. It's in southern Ohio. We're so excited about it. God's just blessed. And listen, just pray for us. If nothing else, just pray for us. But if you can support us, we'll take your support. Amen? Now, enough of that. Let's get to the preaching. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen? Your good old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen? Let's all stand. Amen? Let's get fired up for God this morning. Amen? I wouldn't mind if God just dumped open heaven this morning and give us something to shout about and get on fire about. Listen, let's get to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Amen? Look at this, friend. I got some offer opportunity here this morning. Hey, listen, we got an offer opportunity to hold the Word of God in our hands. Amen? And friend, I believe this morning that the Word is God. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm holding the Lord Jesus Christ in my hand. And let me tell you something, friend. You ought to get excited every time that you can open the Bible this morning. Amen? Friend, let me tell you something. We ought to get on fire for God. Amen? You know, I'm about sick of this half-molly grub type thing. Hey, we're dragging in with our britches, dragging our prints out in the sand. Amen? Hey, we're all messed up this morning. Hey, we need to get on fire. We got something to live for. Amen? It's about time we get on fire for God. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm not even preaching yet. Amen? That was free. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10. The Bible says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Ooh, that's good stuff right there. I can clear off and preach there for a little while, amen? Now watch, it goes on though. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, watch this, which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Father, we pray this morning that you take this time. And Father, Lord, I pray, God, in this very time that you've given us, Father, that you'd fill us with your presence, Father. God, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd show us, God, that, Father, what's wrong in our lives. Father, let us get right with you. Lord, if there's anything in my life, God, I confess it as sin. I don't want to grieve you this morning. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, in this place, Father, would you be glorified and lifted up. And Father, Lord, I pray that every soul that's in here that knows you as their personal Savior, God, Father, would realize, God, what they do have through you, Father. And Father, what I pray, God, this morning, God, that Father, we need to stir the hearts of preachers, Father. God, to stay on the battlefront, Father. God, stay out there serving you, God, and giving you the glory for everything that happens. Father, what I pray now, Father, if there be a lost soul here this morning, let us see the need of Jesus, Father, and turn to you before it's eternally too late. And Father, we'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. Give you all the glory, Father, for everything that takes place here. Now let the Holy Spirit of God step in before me. Father, I'll be faithful to follow, God, and do all the things, God, that you command me to do. For it's your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We live in a society today that is totally messed up. Amen. Hey, we live in a society where we have to have help ministries, amen? We have to have help ministries for struggling men and struggling children and people having problems in America. And friend, we live in a society that if we allow it for a while, then friend, it'll take the hope that we have and totally destroy everything we believe in, amen? And you can say, Bill, Bill hasn't got to me. Oh yeah, it has. Why don't you believe God answers prayer, amen? Why don't you believe that this Bible's real and it can touch your life and it'll change you and you can take it to a lost and dying world? But if you believe that tonight, and the world would not be affecting you. But friend, we are infected. We have an infectious disease of disbelief from the world this morning. Amen. That's why most of you men sitting on this floor don't believe this program's going to work for you. Amen. That's why some of the girls sitting back here in the back don't believe that this program is going to be the very salvation in their life. That's why you as a preacher don't believe that God is going to use you to turn America around for the glory of God. It's about time that we realize that God does want to use us. And God does have hope. And God does have something for America. And we need to believe in what we got today. Amen. Hey, I've sat here this week and listened to the preaching, and but now everyone that's got up and said, hey, why don't we believe anymore? Why don't we care anymore? Hey, why don't we live the standards anymore? Why don't we stand up and do what God wants us to do? Why don't we follow through? Amen? I'll tell you why. You don't believe. You don't believe. Amen? Hey, listen, most of you are mentally disabled. Amen? Because the devil's got you whooped this morning, and you can't go forward. You say, Brother Bill, here's the attitude of most Christians. When we look at the world this morning, we look at the world and we see, hey, we look like, well, you know, I feel kind of dejected this morning. The world's dejected me. I don't have their finances. Amen. I don't have their nice cars and their nice homes. And I don't have the beautiful things of glory. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. Hey, we feel rejected by the world. And we feel dejected by the world. And therefore, we've ejected ourselves out of the seat serving God. Amen. You're not there no more. Hey, man, you show up to church 3 times a week. You go to an altar call when it's given. Every once in a while. Amen. You get excited when you hear something, maybe every once in a while, about, wait, what happened to that internal joy that God gives? Amen? Man, we read some texts here this morning that are outstanding if you get a hold of them. Amen? Do you realize this morning that we have a grace, friend, that goes beyond all measure? Amen? We have something we can hold on to this morning. As they were singing about grace this morning, and grace that is greater than our sins. Man, we got something to shout about. You realize the grace of God is greater than every sin that you've ever committed, everything that you can possibly imagine for it. That's the grace of God this morning, amen. And you got something to get excited about. Well, some of you got that one, amen. You realize we are saved. Amen. Beyond all measure. Do you realize what that means? You can't lose me if you want to. Amen. Amen. I can't get unsaved myself. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, it's about time we get back to the basic principles and get fired up about what God's done for us. Amen. Amen. Listen, you need to get stirred right here. You tell, hey, listen, unless you believe that, hey, God died for you and you alone, then, hey, you'll never change your life. You'll be the same the rest of your life. And you preacher this morning, you need to have a personal, close walk with God. I'll get into preaching in a minute. I got long introductions, short messages. Amen? Think about your life this morning. We're saved. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen, I'm in better shape than any Muslim. Hey, I'm in better shape than any Catholic this morning. Amen. I'm in better shape than any Presbyterian this morning. I'm in better shape than a holiness this morning. I'm in better shape than a Pentecostal this morning. Let me tell you something. If we have the truth and we're saved, then where is our emotion? Hey, we've lost it completely. Amen. It's a shame. I would be embarrassed. Hey, listen, I believe what's taking place.
place is over there in the New Testament where Jesus said, if I tell these to shut up, even the very rocks would cry out. I believe, hey, He's happened to be satisfied by a lost world full of emotion and worshiping Him because God's people won't lift their voice at all. They won't get excited. They won't stand up. They won't shout. They won't give God the glory for anything, friend. What we've gotten to in America isn't all about me ministry. Amen. What happened to serving others? My life I give to Thee, O Lord, that I might live for others. For others, Lord, let me live for others. Where's your problem this morning? I want you to say, I'm going to preach here in a minute. I want you to see something, though, before we get there. The state that you're in. You realize it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. God's grace is still good. Do you realize it doesn't matter what's taking place in your life? His salvation is still as powerful today as it was when He performed it. Do you realize today His power on your life is still there? He's only restricted by your ability and what you're doing and how you're going in your life. Hey, friends, it's about time that we realize today, hey, we got something to hold on to. Amen. I want to preach to you for a little while on a reason for hope. Amen? Got a reason for hope this morning. Amen? Paul puts it like this. See, at life, and in life sometimes we feel rejected because riches are not ours and respect doesn't belong to us and reason is gone. We even feel, look at the world as if, hey, they've got all the goods and we don't have anything this morning. But friend, it's about time that we realize, hey, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, friend, it's about time we realize, hey, we got something that's not tangible, man, but we can get a hold of it when we get to heaven, friend. We need to experience the grace and the hope that God's given us this morning in this place. Paul put it like this. He says, we have a hope. Amen? And it's so important that Paul continue to preach about it and continue to talk about it. He kept saying, he says, we ought to rejoice in hope. Amen? Hey, it's about time that you realize the hope that you have this morning. You ought to rejoice in the hope. Amen? Now, the word rejoice means to become clamorously foolish for God. Amen? Amen? I don't see much clamorously foolishly actions going on here this morning. Amen? I don't see people getting excited, doing backflips, and shouting and praising God because they're not burning in hell and not down with the devil and his angels. But friend, they're saved and on their way to heaven. And the hope that they have, friend, is not in them but in God. See, here's the problem. You have a misplaced hope. You're in the hope of you. God, help us if we're in the hope of ourselves, friend. I'm most being miserable this morning. But friend, I'm not in my hope. I'm in the hope of Jesus. I have a hope. I have a rejoicing hope this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, hopefully we get you fundamentalists woke up. He goes on to say, not only to rejoice, but as a lively hope. I feel like sometimes when we come into a meeting, most Christians are in a freezer. Amen. Do you feel like you come to a meeting sometimes and you're showing up for a funeral? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I wore the wrong color suit this morning. I should have wore black. Amen. But the fact is we have a lively hope. If you ever get a hold of the fact that you have a hope, a rejoicing hope, and a lively hope, it'll change your life. It'll make you a different person. Now watch, friend. He doesn't stop there. He says we have a lively hope. We have a rejoicing hope. We have a hope that shall endure. Not might endure, shall endure. Amen? Paul, he loved this word hope. He loved the fact that it had nothing to do with his education, had nothing to do with his prosperity, had nothing to do with his position as a Roman, a Grecian, or a Christian, but it had to do with Jesus Christ. He said, hi, friend, it shall endure. Well, he said, only shall it endure, but it's also an eternal hope. I got a hope that's eternally bound, Brother Tate. Beyond all measure, amen? It's okay. I am a holy roller, amen? Amen? I'm a holy roller. I've been called the rolling pulpit. Hey, you call me whatever you want to. Just remember that I got the hope of Jesus in me, amen? Amen? The hope of glory, the hope of eternity, I have it in my life. You've got it in your life if you've ever trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got something to shout about. You've got a reason for hope, amen. Oh, why we live, like we have nothing to live for? Why we live like everything's destroyed us? Why we lost circumstance and control? And it's about time we stand up and shout and say, thank God, I got something to hope for this morning. Well, he goes on to say that we ought to rejoice in this hope. He goes on to say that we ought to have hope in the Word. How do I know Jesus Christ is coming for me? Because He said so in His Word. How do I know He hears my prayers and answers them? Hey, if my petitions are heard of Him, I know I have an answer. Amen. How do I know that? Because it's in His Word. How do I know I have eternal security? It's in His Word, friend. Hey, that Word is truth. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the assurance. We ought to rejoice in the Word. And thank God for the hope that it brings. This could be the problem, though. You don't read it. That's why your hope's dampened. That's why you're sitting here this morning. There's no praise or shout in your body. And that's why you're sitting here this morning and you can't get fired up about the eternal glory of Jesus Christ and what He's done for you, friend. I tell you what, I wish I wasn't confounded by a wheelchair this morning. And I wish I could get up. I wish I could run. I wish I could swing from, well, there ain't no chandeliers here. I swing from the light boxes, amen. I wish I had your healthy body this morning because I'd be doing what God wanted me to do. Let me remind you of the wonderful words of our son, of the king that we love in the Bible. His name's David. Amen. Hey, friend, he said, before his wife, she says, you're acting a fool. He says, wait till you see what I will do.
Amen. Amen.
We as Baptists are afraid to be associated, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't put me with the Pentecostal. Friend, we had it long before they got it.
Right.
You just let them steal it this morning. You ought to get excited about the hope. I'll preach in a minute. Hold on a second. I'll get out of the introduction. Where's your hope this morning? We have a reason to hope. Amen? You know, on the combat field, in Desert Storm, life nearly snuffed out I don't know how many times in combat. Everything I had taken away from me. Wedding band, military ID, dog tags, dropped across the border. But I had a hope. If I could just get back, I'd be safe. Amen? Listen, friend. He's already went there and back. The only thing He's coming to do is take us with Him when He comes. And friend, that ought to make you want to shout, get on fire for God, stand up with your legs straight as a poker, give a Baptist shout across America, hey, that they'll hear this morning and say, thank God, there's a hope this morning. There's something we can grab a hold of this morning. Oh, Paul was so fired up about this hope, friend, he didn't quit. He got on to say, we have a hope of eternal life. We have a better hope, amen. We have a hope that's better than anything you can possibly imagine. We got something great, amen. Phew. We ought to hold on to the hope. Now let's go back to our text this morning. Let's go through our text. When the Bible says, is not 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10, of which salvation? Hey, hold on a second. Did you grab a hold of that? We have a hope this morning. And Paul said, hey, here we are, Peter, and he's talking about of which salvation? Amen. We're not talking about being saved in a car crash. We're not talking about the salvation of works. Hey, we're talking about the salvation of grace, through faith that God preserved and He gave to us. And here we find the words of which salvation. Whew. It doesn't stop there. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto who? Oh, wait a second. You mean I have something that the prophets have held on to for a long time?
Amen.
By the way, there are no prophets. Amen? I'm just a preacher. Amen? And the prophets of old, hey friend, there are no apostles anymore. So friend, we got the full Word of God in front of us this morning. And we ought to get excited because this is the book that's been written unto us that we might live a life for God. And we ought to get fired up about the salvation and the grace that was prophesied unto us. Amen? Wow, what a blessing. Amen? Well, now look at this again. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, and did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Whew. How about you? The glory that should follow is the fact that we have a death, burial, and a resurrection Savior.
Amen.
But the glory that followed in my life, friend, October 22nd, 1993, as a lost independent fundamental Baptist preacher over young adult ministries in a little place called Cherry Fork, Ohio, friend, I walked to an old-fashioned altar. I knelt on my knees and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And the glory that should follow came into my life, friend. I found the grace that satisfied. I walked to the well, brother. I got down. I drawed. And God gave me a drink of the everlasting life. It's springing up into eternal life, friend. I got something to shout about. I got something to get on fire about. I got something to hope for. Why? Because I had the grace that should follow. Woo! Man, that ought to get you fired up, the grace of God. Amen. Man, you can't get excited about that. Amen. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. That's all you got this morning? Hey, friend, let me tell you something. You ought to get on fire. The grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense, given to you as a sinful Gentile that should have never experienced the grace of God. And we have it, amen. Woo! Somebody needs to build a fire under somebody, amen. Now watch, he didn't stop there. It gets more exciting in the next verse. Watch this. The next verse goes on too. It says, unto whom it was revealed. Whew. Now that's speaking to me there, friend. I like the personal view of God's Word. Amen. I was in the military. I hate third person. I like first person. Amen. It was revealed unto me. Revealed. You remember the night when you felt hopelessly lost? You remember the night when you thought there was no hope in sight? You remember the night when you thought, hey, you were going to die, and if someone didn't do something quick, you were going to split hell wide open, and you knew it beyond the measure. You knew that you were dying. And all of a sudden, God stepped in, and Jesus revealed Himself to you, and you said, thank God! Hope! 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 Amen! I got something to hope for this morning. Do you realize that personal appointment was made by Him, not by you? Whew. You see, I got saved about 8:30 at night. Amen. On a Wednesday night, the Lord Jesus Christ walked in and sat down on my Father's well. Amen. He said, Ricky Bell's coming. And about 8:30, me and him got an appointment at the altar. Whew. I walked in that altar that night and I said, God, I just want to be saved, trusting You.
Amen.
Wow. He revealed it unto us, brethren. Now watch what he says here. That not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. I just want to make sure you didn't have a fourfold gospel out there. Amen. We have a threefold gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whew. You mean death couldn't hold Him? You mean the grave lost its grip? Amen? You mean all eternity couldn't hang on to Him? But third, on the third and glorious morning, hey, the threefold gospel, He rose. He shook the foundation. If you don't believe it, read Matthew chapter 25. When He rose from the grave, the whole ground shook. Amen. When He cried out, it is finished. It shook. When He shook the foundations of the world, He rose victorious and is on the right hand of the Father, seated for you and me. I think if He can move the earth, we ought to at least try. Amen. Now watch, He goes on to say this. Now watch. Sent down from heaven. Whew. This wasn't sent to me from Barack Obama. This wasn't sent to me from Bill Clinton. This wasn't even sent to me from Baal or the Philistines. This wasn't even sent to me from the grave of Buddha. But the Bible says it was sent down from heaven. How you like your heaven on earth, amen? You enjoying it a little bit this morning? Are you getting fired up? You're going to get fired up here in a minute when I blow your mind, amen? Now watch. I want you to see the last part of this verse. Now watch. Which things the angels desire to what? Oh, friend. Woo! Man, that ought to get you on fire. Let me paint the picture for you. The angels are in the presence of God. Amen? They're in the presence of the Holy of Holies, where they cry out, Holy, 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 which is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They hear the worship of God. They hear the praises of God. They're in His presence of God Almighty, God the Son, and God the Spirit. When they're in heaven, they've seen the holy city as being prepared for you and me. They've seen the gold tree all the way around. They've seen the walls of jasper. And then they've seen the gates of pearl. And they've seen the glory of heaven. They've seen the blood on the mercy seat. They've seen it all. But yet they desire to look into you. The desire to want to have and see what you have and why God loves you so much that He placed something in you. Woo! If that don't get your blesser going, your wood's wet. You ain't got no fire left. You ain't got nothing this morning. Hey, it's about time we wake up and realize we got something that heaven wants to look into, brother. Woo! Glory to God. That ought to get you fired up. That ought to get you on glory now. Now, friend, listen, thinking about that. That we got something that the angels want the desire to look into. How about this? We have a redeeming salvation. Think about what you got this morning. You got something that has redeemed you from the depths of your sin. Amen. Look with me in verse 18 and 19 of this same text here. The Bible says this: for as much as we know that we were not redeemed with the corruptible, watch this, things as silver and gold from the vain conversations received by traditions of your father. Aren't you glad that you're not saved by the tradition of your father? Aren't you so glad that the incorruptible things that received redeemed you this morning? Aren't you glad this morning, hey, that it was the very thing, as it said in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Well, friend, I got a redeeming salvation. Amen. How about that? I got a salvation that the angels desire to look at. How about that, Gabriel? Here, Michael, you want to look in? Right here. Look into my soul. That's how much He loved me. Amen. That's how much He cared for me. That's how much He loved me and died for me. And listen, here's the problem. You've lost your reason of hope. You got your eyes off of salvation. What you need to do is run back to the altar. Get down where you met Him and start rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing. Then it becomes a reality. And you realize, oh, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child. And forever I am. I got a redeeming salvation. Oh, there's no one that can touch the salvation, gentlemen. Listen, if there's one thing I can tell the men's home here this morning, get a hold of the salvation that God has delivered unto you. If you're not saved, get saved. Run to an altar and say, dear God, I want to be saved. Get a hold of the lovely salvation of God. Get a hold of the grace that God bestowed and realize that hey, the angels want what you can only have. Amen. Well, I don't know about you. That's better than putting on a green beret. Amen. And I am a former Green Beret. But when I think about the salvation of God, my beret, my bronze stars, my medal of honors, you can just throw them away. Because there's one thing that I want more than anything. That's the salvation of Jesus Christ. Not only a redeeming salvation, but we have a revealing mercy. Now listen. We get so hung up on the fact that we got to be faithful to church and standards and convictions that we forget the important things of God. Amen? I won't preach my standards and convictions because I'd embarrass every one of you here this morning. I'd make everybody mad. But if I can show you the mercy of God, it'll propel you to a life of standard living for God. Because if I show you the mercy of God, it'll show you the love of God. And if you fall in love with Jesus, it'll change your life. As a lost independent Baptist deacon's boy, a man named Jack Patterson came and sang at our church. Amen? He changed my life. He'll never know until glory until what He's done for me. Amen? Just the fact that I got to put His pillow in the freezer every night. Amen? An honor. to have the man of God in my home. And the fact that he sang those songs, my lands. Hey, dark the sin, this falls man's nature. Long the distance that it fails. Revive the soul when it reaches. Man, what an awesome ability to be around him.
Amen.
Now I get to sit with him. Amen. The revealing mercy of God. Do you realize where you would be if the word mercy didn't exist? I can show you military mercy. Amen? Military mercy is me letting you live as a POW. Me not shooting you when you've killed all my other friends. Me not giving you what you should get. And contrary to popular belief, friend, until they run out of ammo, they aren't peacefully surrendering. So the very thing I want to do is lock my 9mm to the rear and put another third eye right between your eyes. Amen? That's the very first thing I would do. I'm telling you this morning, Saddam Hussein would have never made out of the spider hole.
Amen.
Whoops, I dropped her grenade. Amen? It would have been over with. I don't care. But the fact is, that's military mercy. Allowing you to live when you deserve to die. But friend, let me tell you something. I have an eternal account of death before God. I'm supposed to die. I'm supposed to go to hell. I'm supposed to suffer all anguish. I'm supposed to burn for eternity. I'm supposed to cry and wail out. And God said, no! No! Hey, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, friend, He gave me mercy, but I didn't deserve it. Oh, I got a relieving mercy this morning beyond measure. I could stand this morning and get fired up. And friend, let me tell you something. I wish I could stand, amen. I wish I could get out of this chair and just jump straight out and say, thank God. For the revealing mercy of God. The revealing mercy of God. Look with me in Romans 9:16. I want to show you a verse. I want you to understand where your mercy is coming from this morning. Romans 9:16. The Bible says this right here in Romans 9:16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. And let me tell you something. Your mercy is not because you desire it. It's not because you want it as much as you can get it, friend. But watch this. The Bible says right here, but of God that showeth mercy this morning. Hey, if you've ever experienced mercy this morning, the revealing mercy of God, it's only because God desired to give it to you this morning. And he wanted a spectacle that the angels of glory could look upon and say, look at the mercy I give him. Look at the mercy I give Brother Combs and Brother Coley and Brother Tab and Brother Tim this morning. I give them mercy. Hey, angels, look over here. There's a roll of mercy, a roll of glory, a roll of redeeming salvation. And the angels of heaven saying, why? Why can't we experience that? Why can't we get into that? Why can't we have a hold of that this morning? And you sit here in your righteous indignation this morning and say, well, I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to heaven.
Yeah.
If you ever got a hold of what God really did for you, you would never sit down. You'd drop prostrate and crawl to this altar and say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because you give me redeeming salvation. You give me a relieving mercy.
Amen.
Brother Jack, I remember the night I got saved. Brother, I went in that altar heavy. About a week and a half, 2 weeks before that, me and my wife, I went into a flashback and beat my wife up. One person I never wanted to hurt. And that was all over with. Brother Tenney, her face was swollen beyond measure. I mean, just swollen. I was under a load. God should have never forgive me. And I ain't been everything I needed to be since then, honey, but I still got God's relieving mercy in my life. I remember going to that altar that night and I got down on my knees and it was just so heavy, Brother Jack. Everything that I had done in the military, all the joy I took in combat, because you get to live off the rush. I know what it's like to take a man's life. My friend, it's heavy. The load, even after salvation, is more than you can bear. I wake up every morning with the faces of those men in my mind. Many times through the night, I wake up and sweat's just pouring out from my body. And terror and fear. But I always got the ability to grab hold of that relieving mercy of God. Oh, He's redeemed me. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God He's relieved me. His mercy. God didn't give me what I do deserve. I'm so glad when I walked to the altar, He didn't look at me that night and say, "Sorry, Rick, I didn't die for your sins." My friend, he stuck out his arms. And Brother Combs, when I made that first step, he ran to meet me. Before I could ever get to the altar, he had saved me. Man, before ever I got there, I was on my way to heaven. And with my mouth, I confessed that I wanted to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Penny called me to preach, and now I experience the relieving mercy of God.
Amen.
One of the greatest things you can get a hold of is the fact that God has mercy beyond measure. Amen. And all you have to do is get up every morning. David said his mercies to me are fresh every night. All you have to do is go say, "God, I need some more mercy." God said, "Here you go, son." "Oh, God, I need some more grace." "Here you go, son. Take it. It's good, friend. And God's wonderful." And we can grab a hold of it. Why? Because we have a reason for hope. Because of redeeming salvation. We have a reason for hope. Because of revealing mercy. Oh, friend, what a blessing. What a great God we serve. We have a reason for hope because of the rounded grace of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that God's grace isn't square? Amen. Can you imagine that? Boom, 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 boom. But it's rounded, friend. We have a rounded grace of God. The word rounded means a full, compassing realm of grace that covers all mankind, friend. It doesn't stop. And this brother Danny over here this morning, it doesn't miss Brother Kenny, it doesn't miss Brother Cole, but friend, it covers all mankind. Have a rounded grace of God, friend. In Romans 5:20 and 21, it says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound this morning. Woo! Glory to God. I got a grace this morning. Hey, that reaches deeper than the stain is gone, friend. I got something to go hold on and say, thank God. Hey, that the angels want to look into the grace that God's given me. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a reason for hope this morning? Do you? Amen. Now watch this. I have a reason for hope this morning. I have an abundant grace, an abounding grace, an all-sufficient grace, a beautiful grace, a bountiful grace, a consoling grace, a comforting grace, a grace, a delivering grace, an eternal grace, an everlasting grace, an exceeding grace, a forgiving grace, a free grace, a glorious grace, a great grace, a hopeful grace, a humbling, inherited, justifying, kind, lasting, living, long-suffering, magnificent, marvelous, merciful, a nourishing, ordained, a travailing, priceless, powerful, clinching, a quickening, redeeming, reaching, saving, sealing, tasteful, tempered, translated this morning. We got a round of grace this morning. And we hang on to undescribable. Amen. This grace that I have is undescribable. I have a valuable grace. I have a victorious grace. I have a wondrous grace. I have a wonderful grace. I have an exuberant grace. Amen. The exuberant grace of God. Amen. You know what that word means? That means lively and spirited. Amen. I'm on my way to heaven, Brother Bale. I was winged on a dill pickle and raised on persimmons. Amen. Don't give me that. I'm on my way to heaven, Brother Bell. Woo! Glory to God. I've been saved. I've been justified. Hey, friend, have you ever got a hold of that word justified? I could preach for 3 hours right there. I'm justified. I'm freely forgiven. Just as I would have never sinned against God. Wow. Wow. A yearning grace, a zealous grace. And friend, I have a relaxing forgiveness. Amen. Whew. Satan tries to remind me all the time of how much I enjoyed combat. He tries to remind me of all the time of the men that died on Hill's Highway. I called in the bombing raid for that highway. I walked by them as I saw their hands fried to the steering wheel. Watch their mouths scream out for mercy. It reminds me of that. But I can relax in the forgiving grace of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, we're pardoned. Amen? I've been pardoned. There's nothing held against me. If they thirst through the courts of this law, They'd have to go to the main court, which is the court of heaven. And God said, he's been pardoned by my grace.
Amen.
How about it? Do you have a reason for hope this morning?
Oh, yes, sir.
Why are you sitting there like the devil's whooped you? Why are you sitting there like saying there's no hope? I can't. Yeah, we're going to try it. May not work, but we're going to try it. I don't believe in this program. All this is a bunch of Bible and prayer and memorization and singing songs and being faithful and doing right things and keeping your clothes on straight and keeping your shirts tucked in, staying away from drugs and alcohol and all the wrong things, women, sex, all the crap out there. That's all it is. It'll never work. Look at me. It worked. Amen? No, I wasn't out in the world like a lot of you were. I was religious. God didn't have to shine His grace on me. But that night I got saved, I was triple tithing. Amen? I'd read this Bible through probably 30 times before I got saved. Think about your life. Oh, it'll work. Because if it'll work for a religious boy who God didn't show anything, how much more for you it should work when you had nothing and God's given you everything.
Amen.
The relaxing forgiveness of God. Where do you stand this morning? Let me read one more time to you. Look at this. The Bible says this in First Peter. I want to read it to you again. Right here. By them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I don't know about you, but friend, that puts a charge in me like y'all can't even imagine. How about you this morning? Are you living like an angel should look into your life? Amen? Are you living like you have something to look into? Why don't you try it? Hey, Gabriel, come look. Michael! Go see what God's given me. Get in this altar this morning and realize you've been forgiven.
Amen.
You got grace.
Amen.
You got mercy.
Amen.
And you got salvation this morning.
Amen.
How about it? Where are you at this morning? Amen? Where are you standing? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Tim. Let's all stand to our feet. This altar is open. Don't wait on me. Come on. God wants to deal with your life. This altar is wide open. Come experience what angels want to desire to look into. Come get fired up this morning over the fact that God saves you.